Shalom to all. Today's office Baba Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. We are starting about the ninth line with the words Amrav Zera Amarav. And today's office sponsor Lilu Nishmas Marsh Merim Sar Basav Yaakov Moshe. Her neshama should have an aliyah. Now we've been discussing Matnas Chimera. That somebody who's on his deathbed, he's extremely sick. He's able to give away his property even without an official kinyan. He could simply verbally state, "I want it to go to this fellow," and it automatically goes to that fellow. So the Gemara asks, Amrav Zera Amarav, Minayin Matnas Chimera Shehi Min HaTorah? What's the source in the Torah for this concept of Matnas Chimera that official kinyan doesn't have to happen and doesn't even have to be written down? And so the first source is Shenemar, because the pasuk says, if he doesn't have a son, his nachla should be transferred to his daughter. Now, really, the word va'avartim is unnecessary here. It could just say nachlas elbitoy. It goes to his daughter. So, what do we learn from this extra word? Yesh chavara acheres shikazu. There's another havara, another transference of nachla that's just like this one, meaning just like a regular yerusha, that no official kinyan needs to take place. It just automatically goes to the yarshim. So, too, there's another type of transference of this yerusha that happens without an official kinyan. Vezuzu. And what is this? Matnas chimera to matnas chimera. Now, Rav Nachman Amar Barav Amehacha. He quotes a different source. The pasuk says, and you shall give his nachla to his brothers. And this word unisatim is extra. It doesn't need to be said. It could just say nachlas elachov. So what do we learn from here? Yashcha nesina acheres shikazu. There's another nesina that's just like this. Vezun. Which one is this? Zumat neshchemirat. Zumat neshchemirat. Now the question is, Ravnachman, my time will arm mevartem. Why did Rav Nachman use the pasuk mevartem? The first one that we had. The answer is ahun by leilchid Rebbe. He needs it for what Rebbe uses it for. The time you have a brayso, Rebbe tells us bekula nemar behen nesina. In the entire parsha of nachlas, the word nesina is used. Vekan nemar havara. And over here, in regards to a daughter, the word havara is used. Why use a different word? And the answer is the only time we can have a nachla being transferred from one shevet to another is when we have a daughter. Since her son and husband yarshan her, we have a woman from one shevet marries a man from a different shevet, and she brings in some of her nechasim to that marriage. And when she dies, her husband and son yarshan her, and that means the nachla just went from her shevet to her husband and son's shevet, and that's a lashon of vavartem. Now we have a question the other way around as well. Why didn't Rav Zeir say from the pasuk of unusatem is nachlas elechav? And the answer is urcha dekrohu. It's normal for the pasuk to use the word nusatem, and he doesn't consider the word extra at all, and therefore he can't use it. Now we have a few other sources. Rav Nashu bar Yirmiyah Amar Hacha, he says we learn matnas chimera from the following. The pasuk Navi tells us, Bayal Mahim in those days, Chal Chizkiyo Lamos, Chizkiyo got sick and he was going to die, Vayava Il Vishayo Ben Amar Tzanavi, and Yishayo Anavi came to him, Vayamar Il, and he told him, Kaimar Hashem, Vesor Hashem said, Tavla Beischa, instruct your household what to do, Kimesata, because you're going to die, Veloy Sichy, and you're not going to live. What do we learn from here? But Tzava Ba'alma, that all he has to do is simply instruct them. He doesn't even need to write anything down, and no kinyan needs to take place. So we see Matnas Chimera. Rami Bar Yechezkel Amar Mehacha. Rami Bar Yechezkel says from here, Achi Teufel Ra Ki Lo Nasta Yitzasai. Achi Teufel, who used to be an advisor of David HaMelech, who turned against him and went with his son Avshalom in his rebellion, saw that his Eitza wasn't listened to. Avshalom didn't listen to him. What did he do? Vayachvash Chamar. He saddled his donkey. Vayachal Beisai went to his house. El Ira to his city. Vayitzavel Beisai, and he commanded his household to do certain things. Vayachnak, and he strangled himself to death. What do we learn from here? But Tzava Ba'alma, that all he did was simply instruct them verbally, and he didn't write anything down. No kinyan took place. And so we see Matnas Chimera from here. Now once we mentioned Achi Teufel, we go off on a little bit of a tangent. Tanar Bano, even Braisa, Shoshet Dvarim Tzim Achi Teufel as Banov. Achi Teufel commanded his children three things before he died. Number one, Altiu Machlekes, don't argue with each other, don't fight. Va'altim Redu Machos Beis David, and also don't rebel against Machos Beis David. And lastly, V'yantav Shalat Tzaris Barur, if on Shavuos it turns out that the skies are clear, Zarechitim, you should plant wheat that year because that's a sign that the wheat crop is going to be good. However, Marzucha, Amar Zucha says that Bol Itmar, he told him that if it's Bol, which means it's mixed up or that it's cloudy, then you should plant. And it seems to be a stira. However, Amir Nardai Mishmid Rabbi Yaakov, the Chum of Nardah said in the name of Yaakov that it's not a stiro, loy bar bar mamish, loy balo bal mamish, when he said that if it's clear skies on Shavuos, it doesn't really mean 100% clear, and when we said that it's cloudy, that doesn't mean it's 100% cloudy, alafilu balo v'ruch tzvanis m'nashavtoi, even if it's cloudy, but there's a northern wind blowing that's going to scatter the clouds, zehu bar, that's considered that it's clear, and planting wheat's a great idea. Now, Armalei of Abel Ravashi, Rav Abba told Ravashi, Anan ad Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi masnino lo, we rely on the teaching of Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi that says it has nothing to do with Shavuos, rather Sukkos. Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, the last day of Sukkos, called Tzayfin La'ashan Maracha. Everyone looks at the smoke of the Maracha, of the fire coming up from the Mizbeach, and they want to see which way it's leaning. Not the Klapei Tzafon, if it's leaning towards the north, which means there's a southerly wind blowing, Anim Smeichim Baal Batim Atzevim. Anim are happy, and the Baal Batim, the businessmen, they're sad. Why is that? Menesha Gishmishanam Rubin. This southerly wind foretells that there's going to be a lot of rain that year, which means there's going to be a lot of produce, but the problem is, due to all this rain, there's a lot of moisture, and Uperes Markivin, produce is not going to store well and it's going to rot, and therefore, in order to sell their stuff very quickly, the Baal Batim are going to have to keep the prices down, and that's great for the Aniyim, but not great for the Baal Batim. Whereas not the Klapei Doroim, if the Ashan, the smoke of the Maracha, is blowing towards the south, that means there's a northerly wind blowing, Aniyim Atzevim Baal Batim Smechem. The Aniyim are sad, and the Baal Batim are happy. Why is this? Benesha Gishmi Shana Muatin, due to the fact there's a northerly wind blowing, that foretells that there's not going to be a lot of rain, Uperes Mishtamrin, and due to the fact that it's dry, produce will last a very long time, and that way the Baal Batim can keep it stored and only bring it out when they want to, thereby being able to keep the prices high. Not the Klapei Mizrach, if it's facing towards the east, which means means it's a westerly wind blowing. Hakol smechin, everyone's happy. Klapi mayriv, if it's blowing towards the west, that means there's an easterly wind blowing. Hakol atzevin, everyone's sad. And these last two things is because a westerly wind shows there's going to be just enough rain and the prices are going to stay stable. And easterly wind means there's not going to be enough rain and it's going to be a drought year. And that means the prices are going to go very high because there's going to be a lack of produce. As a more of a mini, we have a stira. A different pasuk tells us, mizraches, if it's easterly wind, loilam yafa, that's always good. And maravis, if it's a western wind, loilam kasha, it's always no good. And the pasuk continues, rach tzvaynes, a northern wind, yafel chitim, is good for wheat, b'shashiv yushlish, if it already grew a third, because a northerly wind means there's not going to be so much rain. And since the wheat already grew a third, it doesn't really need any rain, but it's not good for olives, b'shashiv yinetsu, when they're flowering, because they still need a lot of rain. V'rach dreimis, if it's a southern wind, kashal chitim, b'shashiv yushlish, it's no good for wheat when it grew a third, because that means that there's too much rain and the wheat crop might get ruined, but it's great for olives once they've already started blossoming because there's going to be ample rain to continue providing them with water. Now, before we answer the steer between these brises, from Rav Yosef, tells us, Vitema some say it was Marzutra, Vitema some say it was Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Vesimonach, what's a way to remember this? Shulchan Batzafan and Menorah B'Darayim, the Shulchan was in the northern part of the Mishkan, and the Menorah was in the southern part of the Mishkan, and what do we learn from here? Hai Marbidi Day, Vahai Marbidi Day, each one grows or is good as beneficial for its own. Since the Shulchan had Lacham Panim on it, which was made out of wheat, and again, that was in the Tzafan, that means a northern wind blowing is good for wheat. And the Menorah, which was lit with olive oil, was in the south, so that means that a southern wind is good for olives. But now the Gemara comes with this answer, Loi Kasha, there's no steer between brises, Halon v'Halahu, once for them, once for us. In other words, both brises are telling us that a west wind foretells a lot of rain, and eastern wind is the opposite. It's just that this brisa that tells us that the west wind is no good, that's referring to us in Bavel, who live down in a valley, and therefore the soil naturally is much more moist, and too much rain is no good. Whereas the other brisa that says the western wind is good, that's referring to Eretz Yisrael, which is much higher up, and they need a lot of rain, so therefore western wind, which again tells of a lot of rain, is very good for them. Continuing with this for a little bit, Tanya Abishal, Emer Abishal teaches, Yom Tov Shal Atzeres, Bar, if on Shavuos it's clear skies, Simen Yafel Chal Shana Kula, that's a great sign for the entirety of the year. And Amar Zid tells us, Hayyam Akamad Rei Shasa, this first day of the year, meaning the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Ichamim, if it's hot, Kula Shasa Chamima, the entire year is going to be hot. Ikar, if it's cold, Kula Shasa Karira, the entire year is going to be cold. The Gemara Salmai Nafkamina, what does it make a difference? Practically, why do we care if it's going to be hot or cold? And the answer is, Kofem Zainam Bez Natap, Litvios Shokoin Gadol, this has to do with Tvila Kain Gadol. We know that on Yom Kippur, the Kain Gadol walked out of Kodesh Kedoshim and said a short tefillah. Included in that was a prayer regarding the rain, and now he's going to know what to daven based off of what the first day of Rosh Hashanah was like. If the year is going to be hot, he davens that it's not too hot and there's sufficient rain, and if it was cold, meaning that there's going to be a lot of rain, he davens that there's not too much rain. And now going back to our original discussion of a source of Matan Shchimera, Midaraisa, V'Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Rava quotes of Nachman saying, Matan Shchimera, Midrabana Ba'almahi. The whole concept of Matan Shchimera is only Midrabanan. Why is that? Shemi Tarav Date Olav, maybe the sick person's das, his mental condition, is going to deteriorate. The Chum were afraid that this fellow who's deathly ill, he's about to die, is going to get even worse if he realizes that he's not able to give away the things that he wants to the people he wants to give them to, and he knows that his kids are not going to listen to him, and because of this, he might die earlier than he really should. Therefore, they establish this concept of Matnas Chimera, that even though he's not making an official kenyan, and he's just verbally saying, I want you to give this to that person and the other thing to a different person, that itself is valid, because again, we want him to live as long as possible. As the Gemara of Nachman, Rav Nachman really say this? Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman tells us, Afal Gav D'Amar Shmuel, even though Shmuel tells us, if a person sells a shtar chayv to his friend and then he's meichel it, it's 100% machel. For example, Reuven is owed $50 by Shimon and he sells that shtar chayv to Levi for $5. Now Levi has the ability to collect the $50 from Shimon, but then Reuven's meichel it. He says, forget about it, Shimon, you don't owe me any money. That's 100% machel. He has the right to do that. He would have to give Levi his $5 back, but he's still able to be meichel it. And Vafilu Yairish meichel, even a Yairish is able to be meichel this. Still, Maida Shmuel Shmuel agrees, Shem Nasa Matna Shchimera, that if Reuven, when he was a Shchimera, gave this shtar over to Levi as a present, now allowing Levi to collect his $50, the ena yachal meichalei, that a Yairish is not able to be meichalei. Now, Yair b'shleim v'dayraisa, if you want to say that matnas shchemira is dayraisa, mishumachin yachal limchal. That's why I understand the regular Yairish is not able to be meichalei, because the recipient of this matana, Levi in our case, is basically in place of the Yairish, and since his right to this matnas shchemira is dayraisa, he's able to win, so to speak, over Reuven's Yairish. El yamat rabbanhi, but if you want to say matnas shchemira is only midrabanon, amay ena yachal limchal. Why can't Reuven's Yairish be meichal this chayv? The matana that was given to Levi was only midrabanon, whereas the dayraisa rights to the chayv really belong to Reuven's Yairish, so he should be able to meichel it. It must be that Matnas Chimera is Dairaisa. The Gemara says, no, Eina Shel Taira, Vasuok Shel Taira. Really, Matnas Chimera is not Midaraisa, it's only Midrabanon. But they establish it with the strength as if it's Dairaisa, and that's because what we said previously, Shem Tarif Date Olav, we want the Chimera to be as calm as possible in his last moments, we would want him to get worked up about anything, and therefore, this Matnas Chimera has the status of a Dairaisa. Continuing to discuss Matnas Chimera, Amarav Amar Nachman, Chimera Sha'amar, if a Chimera said as follows, Yadr Plenu Bayezet, this fellow should live in this house. Reuven's a Shchemer over here, and he says, you know what? Shimon should live in my house. Or he says, Yochaplani Peres Dekal Zeh, Shimon should eat the produce of this palm tree. Lamer klum. He didn't say anything. And that's because living is ein b'mamish. It's not something tangible. You can't give over the rights to living to somebody else. You could give them the house, and that enables them to live in the house, but you can't give them rights to living. And by that same token, there's no produce on this tree yet, and that's considered davar shaloi b'ayla oilam, so he's not able to be makin it either. And therefore, it's not valid ad sheyemer until he says to nu b'yizela pleni v'yadur b'ay. Give this house to so-and-so, and he shall live in it. Or to nu dekel zela pleni, give the tree to so-and-so v'yachal pei reisav, and he'll be able to eat the pei reis. Ask more, hold on a second. Remember, does Rav Nachman, does that mean Rav Nachman hold milsa di isa b'bari, isa b'shchemera, only something that applies to a bari, meaning that a bari could do, a healthy person is able to accomplish, could be accomplished by a shchemera, the less of a bari, less of a shchemera. But if a healthy person can't do this, then a shchemera can't do it either, because as we just explained, the same way that a healthy person is not able to give rights to living or pay rights that are not here yet, so a shchemera is not able to do so either. And that's mashma, the shchemera is on the same level as a bari. But that can't be, because v'amar Rava, amar Nachman, Rava quoted Rav Nachman saying as follows, kofim chasam b'alfa on top, shchemera sh'amar, if a shchemera said, tnu halva asi l'plani, give my halva to that fellow, halva asi l'plani, that loan is given over to the fellow, we'll explain this in a moment, v'alfa gav de lesei bari, even though that does not exist by a healthy person. Now this is not talking about a loan that was written down in a document that was kasuv bishtar. It's talking about a verbal halva, a milva alpe. And even though we just said before, a healthy person could sell or give his shtar chayv over to somebody else to collect it, that's only we're talking about a shtar. But verbal halva, if Reuven lent Shimon $50 one day and didn't write it down, he can't go to Levi and say, okay, Levi, you could collect that loan. It just simply doesn't work. But by shchiv meirah, it does work. And so we see that shchiv meirah has more kayach, he has more power, he's on a higher level, if you will, of kenyan than a bari is, as Rav Nachman's shita seems to be inconsistent over here. And on this, we have two answers. Our papa tells us, since a yoresh yarshins, a shchemera could do this as well. In regular case, when Reuven has halva alpet that he lent to Shimon, and then Reuven dies, that halva goes over his kids, they could still collect it. And since a matna shchemera is like Yerusha, as we just mentioned previously, the person receiving the thing from the shchemera is like he's the yoresh. So that's what, particularly in this case of halva alpet, a shchemera could give that right to collection over to somebody else. Whereas Racha Breda Rav Eka Amar, he tells us that actually we shouldn't be so quick to say that a bari is not able to give over the ability to collect a loan to somebody else when he's alive. Because actually, halva iso bari, a healthy person is able to give over this right to collect a loan, halva alpe, to somebody else, even when he's healthy and fine. Where do we get this from? Uchad Rav Huna Amarav, just like Rav Huna Amarav. Dam Rav Huna Amarav, Rav Huna said b'shem Rav, I brought this up a few daf ago. Everyone tells Shimon, mana li biyadcha, I have a mana by you, which means you owe me a mana, teneu l'plaini, give it to so-and-so, give it to Levi. And this was b'mamet shlashtan, all three of them were there. Levi was witness this entire conversation. Kano, Levi is kainet. And so we see that we actually do have a case of a bari where he can give over the rights to collect alva alpe, and therefore in this particular situation, a shchiv meira is actually not stronger than a bari. So we don't have any question. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow. Continue to discuss matan shchiv meira. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.